Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we covered the topic of yellow fever found under the infectious disease section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 32-year-old woman presents to a local clinic in Nigeria. She had been working in the rainforest as part of a conservation movement and had been bitten multiple times over the past few days by mosquitoes and other flying insects. 3 days ago, she developed a flu-like viral illness and recently began having minor nosebleeds. She also noted that her skin looked more yellow than normal. On exam, she is jaundiced with scleroicterus. She is also noted to have hepatomegaly and gingival bleeding. Laboratory testing reveals a transaminitis and hyperbilirubinemia. She is told that she needs to be admitted for close monitoring. Let's continue with an introduction to yellow fever. As a reminder, the yellow fever virus is classified as a positive sense linear RNA virus. It is a flavivirus and arbovirus with an icosahedral capsid. It is transmitted by the Aedes mosquito, and its reservoir is the human or monkey. In terms of the pathogenesis, the virus spreads via blood. It infects the liver, and liver cells die via apoptosis. Coagulopathy then occurs due to the loss of the hepatic synthesis of clotting factors. In terms of the epidemiology, this is endemic in South America and Africa. Risk factors include exposure to endemic areas and mosquito bites. Moving on to the presentation, remember that most patients are asymptomatic. If symptomatic, they may have a flu-like prodrome, and there may be headache, myalgias, nausea, and black vomitus. On exam, one may note a high fever, jaundice, scleroicterus, hepatomegaly, and minor hemorrhage. This may present with epistaxis, mucosal bleeding, or melena. In terms of further studies, labs that are diagnostic include a reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction or serology with an enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. There will also be transaminitis, an elevated prothrombin and partial thromboplastin time, and hyperbilirubinemia. A Quiax stool test will typically demonstrate occult blood. Liver biopsy may demonstrate Councilman bodies. These are eosinophilic apoptotic globules, and this is typically found on autopsy. When making the diagnosis, remember that most cases are clinically diagnosed, especially in those who have recently traveled to an endemic area. With regards to the differential, make sure to think about dengue fever. Remember that this may also be hemorrhagic, but it does not affect the liver, and it will not present with jaundice, scleroicterus, and hepatomegaly. Also think about chikungunya. This will typically not present with hemorrhage. With regards to treatment, conservative options include supportive care. This is indicated for all patients, and this is performed with rehydration, close monitoring, and pain control. Conditions that are associated include a hemorrhagic fever. Prevention is with the live attenuated virus vaccine. This is given at age 9 to 12 months in endemic areas or given 10 days prior to travel to endemic areas. Complications related to yellow fever include shock, prolonged weakness and fatigue, or death. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that most patients recover without complications. However, in severe cases, mortality rate is up to 60%. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to yellow fever, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 45-year-old male presents to the emergency room complaining of severe nausea and vomiting. He returned from a business trip to Nigeria 5 days ago. Since then, he has developed progressively worsening fevers, headache, nausea, and vomiting. He has lost his appetite and cannot hold down food or water. He did not receive any vaccinations before traveling. His medical history is notable for alcohol abuse and peptic ulcer disease, for which he takes omeprazole regularly. His temperature is 103.0 degrees Fahrenheit, or 39.4 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 100 over 70. Pulse is 128 beats per minute, and respirations are 22 breaths per minute. Physical exam reveals scleroicterus, hepatomegaly, and tenderness to palpation in the right and left upper quadrants. While in the exam room, he vomits up dark vomitus. The patient is admitted and started on multiple antiprotozoal and antibacterial medications. Serology studies are pending. However, the patient dies soon after admission. The virus that likely gave rise to this patient's condition is part of which of the following families? And the answer choices are: choice 1, flavivirus; choice 2, togavirus; choice 3, calicivirus; choice 4, bunyavirus; or choice 5, hepivirus. The best answer to this question is choice 1, flavivirus. The patient in this vignette presents with fever, jaundice, and black vomitus, suggestive of yellow fever. Yellow fever is caused by an enveloped, positive-sense, single-stranded RNA flavivirus. In this patient with fever, jaundice, and black vomitus, the differential includes yellow fever, viral hepatitis, dengue fever, malaria, and other hemorrhagic fevers. In an unvaccinated patient who went on a recent trip to Africa and expired from his illness, yellow fever is the most likely diagnosis. Clinically, yellow fever presents with an incubation period of 3 to 6 days, followed by a mild phase of fever, headache, nausea, vomiting, and myalgias. This eventually progresses to a severe late phase of high fever, liver damage or jaundice, bleeding diathesis, bloody vomitus, and death. Yellow fever can be differentiated from other hemorrhagic fevers by the presence of jaundice. Liver biopsy in these patients may reveal eosinophilic Councilman bodies. However, liver biopsy is contraindicated in these patients due to the bleeding risk. The diagnosis is based on serology findings demonstrated IgM directed against the virus. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 2. The togavirus family includes rubella and several equine encephalitis viruses. Of these, rubella is the most commonly tested. Rubella presents with a mild measles-like disease. Choice 3. Norwalk virus is a member of the calicivirus family. Norwalk virus presents with acute watery diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting that resolve spontaneously in normal hosts. Choice 4. Hantavirus is the most commonly tested bunyavirus. It presents with pulmonary edema, cough, fever, myalgias, thrombocytopenia, and hypotension. It can be differentiated from yellow fever by history because the reservoir of Hantavirus are rodents in the southwestern United States. Choice 5. Hepatitis E virus is the most commonly tested hepivirus. It presents as a mild acute hepatitis but can be fatal in pregnant women. Finally, a bullet summary. Yellow fever is caused by an enveloped, positive-sense, single-stranded RNA flavivirus and is transmitted by the Aedes mosquito to individuals traveling to or residing in Africa. It presents with a high fever, black vomitus, jaundice, and severe infectious symptoms. That's all for this review about yellow fever. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.